is going to figure out that, well, he's got a dog in his lap. The idea is to have I've been here ready to roll. It took Slim a while to respond, longer than I'd expected. I think I might have strung it out a little longer, but I made a poor calculation on weight distribution and pressed too hard with one of my hind paws. Also, I was sitting within the circle of his two arms, between his chest and the steering wheel, and I guess he was having a little trouble, well, seeing the road. Don't forget, I'm a pretty big guy. Huge body, enormous shoulders, muscular thighs, the kind of body that causes the eyes of lady dogs to pop out of their heads. Anyway, he noticed. Hank, you're sitting in my lap. Right. Yes, I was aware of that. And it was pretty touching, wasn't it? I mean, out of all the laps of all the cowboys in the whole world, I had chosen to sit on his. A cowboy and his loyal dog going off to feed cattle. Very touching. I can't drive like this. Oh, well, gee, I'd been there all day. Most of the day. He hadn't noticed. Reckon you could move. Well, I'd gone to quite a lot of trouble to get there, to be honest. And the air was really nice on his side of the pickup. So the bottom line was, no. I couldn't see that moving was a very good option. Not anytime soon. Maybe later. If I roll down the window on your side, will you move? Actually, I was more impressed with the air quality on his side. It seemed fresher, cleaner, and sweeter than the air on the other side. It seemed better in every move. Yikes. Suddenly and all at once, he flexed his body muscles and sent me flying out of his lap. Gee whiz, he didn't need to be such a brute about it. I mean, if he'd wanted me to move, why hadn't he just come right out and said so? I could take a hint. I tucked up my tail, lowered my ears, and beamed him an expression we call dog rebuked. I was disappointed that it caused him to laugh.
Do you want me to have a wreck and get us all killed?
Well, no, since he put it like that. Just then, something magical happened. By George, the shotgun window rolled itself down. Slim noticed it too, and he said,
There, stick your nose out that side. And Hank, try not to chop off your head. Remember them buttons.
Buttons? Why was everyone on the ranch talking about buttons? What did Slim know about buttons anyway? He was a bachelor, and I happen to know that half the shirts he wore were missing at least one button. I marched over to the window and shoved Rover onto the floor. Time's up, scram. Yeah, but I thought I got a promotion. You've been fired. Fired? I just got here. What did I do? I beamed him a gaze of purest steel. You've been wasting oxygen, Drover. You had your chance and you blew it. I'm sorry. He whined and moaned, but I ignored him. I mean, oxygen is very precious, and we couldn't allow him to go on squandering it. I plunged my face and nose into the rushing river of fresh air, closed my eyes and let the wind flap my ears and tongue, flutter my whiskers, and tickle my chin. Oh, yes. Fellers, this was very close to life's true meaning and purpose. And you know what? I decided that the air was sweeter on my side after all. If Slim wanted to be such a greedy goat, he could keep his old window and ride the rest of the way without my warm presence in his lap. Pretty stern punishment, huh? You bet. But these people have to learn. It took us maybe 10 minutes to reach our next destination, the Dutcher Creek pasture. As we pulled across the cattle guard into the pasture, Slim said,
I wonder if that coyote will be on the feed ground today.
I gave him a blank stare, and he said,
There's been a coyote coming up to eat with the cows.
Oh yes, that story, but I didn't believe it.
A coyote eating feed with the cows? Impossible. Most of the cows had already come into the feed ground and were waiting for us. Waiting impatiently, I might add. Milling, bawling, complaining, and staring at us with empty bovine expressions. It's always a little irritating to see them doing this. I mean, a cow has nothing better to do than stand around on the feed ground and wait for somebody to deliver her groceries, right? If they thought our service was too slow, then why didn't they go eat the bark off a few trees? We'd fed them yesterday, but do you suppose they ever thanked us or even showed a shred of gratitude? No, sir. Cows never say thank you. They gibble what we got them and bawl for more, as though they're starving to death. Well, they're not. They're all as fat as mud. You know the problem with cows? They have too much idle time, and all they think about is food. Let them go get a job, that's what I say. They gobble what we give them, is what I meant to say, not gibble what we gobble them, or whatever it was. Gibble what we gobble them. Skip it. We pulled up on the feed ground, an open space on the west side of the creek, and parked beneath some big cottonwood trees. Slim left the engine running because that's what you're supposed to do with diesel engines in the wintertime. Leave them running. You probably didn't know that, but it's true. Diesel engines run better when they're hot. Why? I have no idea, but Slim said so, and that's good enough for me. While we waited for the rest of the cows to come in, he pushed his hat at a downward angle so that the brim almost touched his nose and scrunched down in the seat. I guess he noticed that Drover and I were staring at him. Why were we staring at him? No particular reason. We were just, well, waiting for something to happen. I bet y'all wish I'd sing you a song. What? Was he joking? Have we ever discussed Slim singing? Maybe not. See, when we're out doing something on the ranch, he makes up these corny songs. And what can a dog do but sit there and listen? It seems a little weird to me, a grown man singing to his dogs. But he's done it, not once, but many times. He seems to think we love his so-called music. Ha! We put up with it, that's all. Because we have to. Because that's one of the things we have to do to keep our jobs. He grinned. Well, okay. If you'll sit up and beg, maybe I'll sing for you.